The opinions voiced on this program are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, or financial advisor prior to investing. Securities and investment advisory services are offered through Genios Wealth Management Incorporated, a member of FINRA SIPC.
Here's a tip for the new year. How about rational or reasonable expectations? We're going to cover that today on What Really Matters. We start now. And welcome to What Really Matters with Peter McClellan, your host, and Jeff Hyback of Strategic Equity Management. And Jeff and I were just kind of bantering around about a few of the things that are going on in the world right now as the calendar turns, or is about to turn. And Jeff, I think we both can agree on the idea of rational or reasonable expectations. There are people I've met with, clients, investors over the past couple of months that are either in some cases, ecstatic about the Trump win, and then there are those who are very much disillusioned, depressed, fearful, anxious about Hillary not winning. And so I think there needs to be, as you've said before, you don't want to mix politics with your investing, because inevitably you may not work out so well. So tell us, Jeff, what would you say would be reasonable or rational for the year ahead? What would be some rational expectations?
You know, I think the most rational expectation is that it's going to be volatile. It's not going to be smooth sailing for President Trump. It's going to be, you know, a lot of probably little victories here and there, and we may see some really big victories as well. But you got to look at what is already priced into the market, and the market is pricing in some major tax reforms, the infrastructure spending of $1 trillion going through, no immigration policies that disrupt trade, no geopolitical events, which after the last couple of weeks would be shocking, but that's what the market's pricing in. And in other words, the market's pricing in a perfect presidency. And whether it's a seasoned politician like George W. Bush or a guy who's, not ever held political office, no transition is ever smooth and perfect. And, we've talked about before about not mixing your politics with your investment policies. And, you look at the out and out how frightened everybody was when Obama took over, and, at first he tried to do all that and then he backed away from it. And, there's some executive orders here and there that I think the Republicans would rather just get rid of. But all in all, I mean, both him and Bill Clinton were pretty dang moderate and pretty business friendly. You look at corporate profits under both of them, and the only, this last go round was record profits, eclipsing the record profits that we saw in the 1990s. So even in the 1990s...
Wait a minute, I got to stop you. I want to push back a little bit on that comment, because I really viewed Clinton as more hands-off than Obama. You say pretty darn moderate. Pertaining to what? To his impact on the economy, on the market? What are you referring to?
Just looking at business policies, we had financial reform, but it was... I mean, it's really a joke. The Dodd-Frank bill is just an absolute joke as far as doing anything to change the behavior of Wall Street and preventing the next crisis. And that's because he knew to get it through, he had to listen to the Wall Street banks, and they wanted it watered down, and that's what he did. And, and what it did, though, it was enough to give investors confidence that, they're looking out for us. Things are a little bit better. Tax policies, there's really nothing major that happened. He kind of let a lot of the Bush tax cuts stay in there. And like I said, you look at corporate profit margins hitting all-time highs a year ago and just blowing away the all-time highs we saw in the 90s. I mean, businesses did really well under President Obama, no matter how much they want to argue about the Affordable Care Act or extra regulations. Yeah, they figured out a way to make money. And that's
They did.
What the stock market cares about.
But what I was going to bring up was the Obamacare, because reality is people left and right. I mean, you got Governor Dayton here in Minnesota saying the Affordable Health Care Act is unaffordable. And granted, there's all different opinions as to what would make it affordable, whether it should be scrapped, whether it should be tweaked, improved upon, whatever, whatever happens. But that has, in a sense, it's the takeover of an enormous sector of our economy. What is it? I've heard it quoted as like, I don't know, 15, 20% of the economy, healthcare. Yeah. So if it's that big, this was indeed a power grab to take it over, to push us closer towards a one-payer system. That's not moderate, as I understand moderate. But it's all, no, I mean, it's not moderate. I wouldn't say it's moderate relative to the economy, but I'm not disagreeing with you. I think that, I mean, as far as what you're saying, it's sound. You know, corporate profits have been very good. But you've also been the one to play devil's advocate saying, as it comes to corporations, that as far as their valuations go, you see a bit of a game there going on. Tell us about that, because you know, things like corporate buybacks.
Yeah, I mean, and corporate buybacks don't enter to the profit margin picture, but they do earn.
I realize that.
But the earnings per share, done things, you know, with the way they account for pension expenses, the way they determine between what's an ongoing operation expense and what is a one-time expense. And, you know, there's a lot of tricks in there, but I'm talking about net profits after taxes.
Right.
Which is a government number. So there is literally no tricks that can be put into that to show there. And that, you know, these are IRS filings, not SEC filings that the corporations are given. And it's, yeah, there's tricks, there's things like that. And I honestly believe the reason the Affordable Care Act even had to come into being was because too many corporations were just focused so much on the almighty bottom line. That's why 19 states are raising minimum wages, is corporations kept getting richer and richer, and the people finally said, you're not distributing it
right,
like we believe, which I always think that's a slippery slope of, you know, it's not fair.
Right.
But I've argued all, you know, I think since I've known you, there was a subtle shift in the 90s between the role of a corporation. It used to be to maximize value to stakeholders, meaning shareholders, employees, suppliers in your community, to only maximizing value for shareholders. And so now some of this pushback we've seen from the left, from the Affordable Care Act to higher minimum wages, is the direct result of those corporations having record profits and not looking at all the stakeholders. But that's a whole other podcast. But that my point is we now can safely say that President Obama had the third best stock market performance out of any other president. The other two were Bill Clinton and Ronald Reagan. Two happen to be Democrat, and I know a lot of Republicans that are very conservative were not very exposed to the Obama or the Clinton stock markets, and that hurts over the long run. And if you're a Democrat, keep that in mind, because maybe it's too far back to remember, but you might be missing out on what could be a return of the Ronald Reagan years as far as growth goes. We don't know.
Let me ask you this, because one question that comes to mind, though, is that I know we're talking about some different things, profitability of corporations and the value of their stock and what it means to shareholders and what it means to the average American. What about, you've always said for quite some time now that you perceive the stock market to be fairly grossly overvalued. Is it possible, if Trump does get enough of the economy moving with some of the things that he does, that to free things up, to make the idea of having new jobs growing? I don't know how he's going to do it exactly, but whatever, it's obviously going to be a number of things he'll try. Is it possible that the economy could ignite enough that it would absolutely support in a meaningful way the valuations that we currently see and push them higher?
Yeah. Well, technically, they wouldn't be pushed higher if earnings growth was really strong. You know, because valuations are price divided by earnings, and you can justify currently higher price earnings ratios as long as the expectation is for higher earnings into the future. And that's what's being priced in the market. We talked a couple weeks ago, 20% growth expectations for earnings, and a lot of economists are starting to predict a 4% GDP growth, which would be the best we've seen going all the way back into the mid-2000s. So if that happens, the valuations we see right now are definitely justified. But
okay,
you know, you could actually see, and we've seen it happen before, earnings go up, but the PE ratio goes down because people say, well, this isn't sustainable. So that's kind of what I'm getting at, is the wild card is what's going to happen with President Trump. I think, you know, you, before we went on, said that you thought, you know, you'd be surprised if the market was able to go up in 2017. I wouldn't be surprised to see a really strong rally if everything goes right for President Trump. That's, I mean, it's still a possibility. We might, you know, just see enough people say, hey, you know what, let's try it. Let's get some tax cuts done. Let's do some infrastructure spending. Let's not get crazy with immigration or the Affordable Care Act or anything like that. And, you know, we could see a really good year for the market, but that's trusting in a smooth transition. I think what you were combining the two, you would be surprised if there was a smooth transition, which means you'd be surprised if the market was up.
Right. Well, I just don't think he'll get everything that he's you know, saying he's going to do. I mean, even if he were magically to get everything, and no one does, it would take time. It's not going to happen in 5 minutes. It's not going to happen in 1 year, 2017. But I was more concerned just from a standpoint of the valuations being out of whack already to begin with. You seem to think that, I mean, you're concerned that they're going to add, perhaps if he gets his way, $1 trillion to our you know, the already out of whack overspending, you know, that's gone on. I don't know, but I don't see, I don't know that the swamp is going to drain quickly enough that there isn't an appetite for that type of spending if it means jobs, if it means, you know, whatever, construction for, you know, highways and bridges and hospitals and airports, whatever else. I mean, I don't think it's going to get a lot of resistance on that. There's not enough, hawks out there that are fiscal hawks that are going to say, no, we've already spent ourselves into oblivion. I don't see how we get much of an argument from either side. I don't know. What do you think on that?
My fear is that he's going to have to make compromises. You know, I've talked before there's some caucus in Congress that is basically the remnants of the Tea Party after the establishment Republicans basically destroyed them. But there's enough of them still in Congress that they likely will fight any of this spending, because remember, the whole point of the Tea Party was they were sick of the runaway spending. Both giving corporations tax breaks as well as, you know, giving people handouts. And so it's going to be really tough. So that means to get anything done, there's going to have to be some compromises with the Democrats. And then that's where I fear you start getting into this unproductive spending where you're just giving people more welfare benefits or art projects or whatever it is that we've seen. The Obama stimulus was so impotent because it was unproductive spending. It wasn't going into things that would produce future growth. It was going into things that would be spent immediately. And as we've educated people on many, many times, that's all well and good as long as all your goods and services are provided in the U.S. But we're not a closed system anymore, which means they might spend money, but then 60 to 70% of that goes overseas, and it just doesn't help things. And that's, we can't have just spending for spending's sake. We got to have true investment.
Oh, I agree. But I would also say that there's a lot of populist themes that I think Trump has drawn from the middle, all sides, the middle class and middle left and right, you know, that are concerned about our safety, that are concerned about, you know, making sure we have borders, making sure we have, you know, jobs, making sure that we can do what we can do to grow the economy. And as he says, make America great again. I still think America's great, but I understand what he means by that. But I don't know. I can't imagine it all happening overnight in a way that would be so motivating. But I got to be honest, you've talked with clients too, investors that are, you know, very excited by the Trump win, and I'm excited about the prospects of capitalism getting a second try instead of so much socialism. That does appeal to me. But I don't for a minute believe that capitalism has any kind of formula that makes it go poof. And I know Trump's a remarkably successful guy, and he's pulling together some remarkably successful people from the business world. Well, we'll have to see how they can weather the terrain of government. It's a different animal. I don't know it. I mean, I've never been in government, but I understand it to be very different. So I don't know. I'm holding my a little bit of reservation, but I think a lot of good will happen. I really do. I think there's the potential for it anyway, meaning for Americans to benefit from a Trump administration.
Yeah, I mean, Americans voted for change, and
yeah,
you know, change, especially as we're seeing these last couple of weeks from the Democrats, is something that's going to be fought by the establishment. But the more that this establishment fights the change, the more likely we're going to see even bigger change at the midterm elections. So, you know, I guess the establishment kind of has a choice. Are they going to keep fighting it, or are they going to kind of figure out ways that they can get in on it? You know, we were talking before we went on the air. I forget the guy's name. I believe he was from Wisconsin on the Democrat side that went up against Pelosi for the House Minority Leadership. And I like this guy. He'd be one that I think Trump should be talking to and working with, because he said, you know, we as a party lost the election because we lost track of the middle class. We need to turn our focus on—
That's an honest assessment. Yeah, but both parties have to do that. They really do.
And he said we need to turn our focus on the economy and not these social issues.
Yeah,
I agree. And unfortunately for the Democrats, he didn't win. So now we're stuck with Pelosi and her social focus rather than the actual economic focus. And
I know.
That was the most logical thing I've heard from the Democrats since the election was, you know, we got to focus on the middle class and the economy. And I think from the Republican standpoint as well, it's, you know, you look at all the establishment people that went up against Trump in the primaries, and they all fell because they, you know, were focused on their social issues or their trickle-down beliefs or whatever it was that the Americans didn't want to vote for anymore. And look, we need to change, and the smoother it goes, the better. But I would expect it to be a very rocky change, especially just what we've seen the last couple of weeks out of the Obama administration.
Oh yeah, yeah, it really could be. I mean, who knows? But how about that senator from Arizona, McCain? You know, I think he wants to go to war with Russia.
Well,
that would make him happy.
He's never found a conflict he didn't want to go throw missiles at. So
go pour some gasoline on it.
Warmonger McCain is always no matter who's in the White House, he's ready for war.
Oh, that's insane. I don't get that. I don't. I'm sorry. It may be because does he have sons? I don't know that are of the age that would go. I don't.
They're probably
retired.
See
my boys go to war.
Probably.
He's old enough. His kids are retired, right? Yeah, you're right.
This is the problem. He's one of the problems in Washington. And I do apologize to my daughter-in-law who has an internship there, but she's going into public communications. And I did encourage her because it's good experience. But
It is. Sure it is.
You know, he's been our senator from Arizona since 1982. It's time to go. I mean, my entire life he's been senator. And it's things like that, and we don't have time to get into this whole social issue, but people fight me whenever I say that the conservatives are also progressives, and especially the baby boomer, the ideological branch of the baby boomers. You know, Senator McCain is from that group that just wholeheartedly believes that it is America's job to put democracy everywhere in the world, whether they want it or not. And that's the progressive agenda from the Republicans that ultimately ended up, you know, why we lost the election to Obama in 2008 was their agenda. Their agenda was also, you know, we're going to have no regulations and let businesses do whatever they want. And then, of course, the financial crisis happened, and, you know, Americans woke up to that. So that's one example of the establishment on the right that Americans are kind of getting tired of as well.
No, absolutely. Well, I see there's all kinds of forces, some new things that have occurred with the Trump administration. People are fearful. People are optimistic. It's a mixed bag. But what in the midst of all this, all of these changes and potential conflicts and potential hiccups, bumps in the road, Jeff, what would you say going into the new year is going to be rational? As an investor, what would you say to people out there that are, you know, feeling somewhat pulled in one way or the other?
You know, I've been reading a book the last couple of weeks about investor behavior. And, you know, one of the things that I found enlightening was, you know, we want to sit there and you know, beat ourselves up for making emotional decisions with our money. But, you know, that's a very normal, natural reaction because we are human beings. But what's very predictable is the way people will react. And what I've found is they will get way too overhyped. And then when they're disappointed, they're going to overreact the other way. And so that's where being able to predict those types of emotional reactions, you know, we know for a fact when people lose beginning around 10% of their money, that's when they get very emotional and they want to sell. So the goal is to figure out ways to get them into a portfolio that matches their tolerance for risk. And that's not going to change. It hasn't changed in the 25 years that Strategic Equity has been in business. And, you know, like I said before, you could go back to the time of Moses and, you know, the second they get out of slavery, they wander around in the desert for a couple of weeks and they're saying, man, slavery really wasn't that bad.
Let's go back to eating.
At least we had food and shelter. But I mean, that's human, and again, it's predictable how humans will react. And
all right, so to the person who is scared and legitimately fearful on some things regarding Trump and what their worldview is, what would you say to that person that's maybe overly fearful?
You know, I remind people we have checks and balances in Washington for a reason, and. You know, even, you know, as hard as some presidents have tried to use the executive order pen, there's courts out there that'll overturn them. And I forget the count, but a very high number of President Obama's executive orders were overturned. And so you have Congress, you have the Supreme Court, and you also have the lower courts that will hold him in check. And that's the beauty of our country. As well as, hey, there's a midterm election coming up in 2 years, and you could swing the power in Washington quite easily if you're unhappy with how things are going. You just got to get active. You got to get vocal with your party and, you know, hope that you can put in people that more better represent you and your beliefs.
Mm. All right. How about the person that's overly optimistic?
That's where, you know, you got to take a step back and look at history. And even with Ronald Reagan, when he took over, we saw a very difficult transition. We saw a second recession that started a very big sell-off in the stock market because things can't happen overnight. And when the market is priced for perfection, it expects perfection on the execution side. And it's pretty small chances that that's going to happen.
Mm. Yeah, you're right. And come to think of it, it can't happen perfectly. It never does. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see. I don't know. My Dow didn't break 20,000 this year. We all thought it was going to for a while there, but
I know. CNBC was doing Facebook Live videos about the first 3 days this week, and they kind of gave up on it.
Yeah, I think so. It definitely didn't happen in 2016. But anyway, well, you know, we always remind people that so much of what we do is about helping people understand where they're trying to go and how they might get there. I mean, people know where they want to go. They know what they're moving towards, whether it's education of their children or retirement. They're cognizant these days of the potential losses, and others maybe need to be reeled in a little bit. But wherever you are, it matters how you're going to react in terms of volatility, in terms of how much you can stomach. And maybe you should be more aggressive. Maybe you should be more conservative. It really is up to what you're going to do. You don't want to do the real painful big mistake, which is the knee-jerk reaction. So as we're turning the calendar, it's a new year coming up here now. It's a great time to go through a risk tolerance questionnaire and just talk about your risks. See what's, you know, how much can you really stomach? And maybe you can tolerate a bit more. Maybe you can't. Better to make some solid moves in the meantime. If you have never explored the merits of active money management, really want to encourage you to do so. And get familiar with the topics. Jeff does a great job on the blog. He has wonderful charts that he puts in, charts of the week. He does a fantastic job. Just released his video economic update for the end of the year, beginning of the year, I should say. So go to semtradersblog.com. Check out what he's saying. Regardless, I think he's right. It's going to be very volatile. It's going to be choppy. It's going to be up. It's going to be down. Who knows which way it's going to go and how these next initial months of the Trump administration will unfold. But regardless of that, do you have the confidence that you have a mix that's fitting for you, regardless of what comes? So check that out and think about it. Give us a call here at the 401k Latte Company. We're local here in Minnesota. But if you are long distance, way out of our state and other states, check Jeff's blog out and get acquainted with SEM and Strategic Equity Management. We appreciate the work they do. No guarantees, but a guarantee of the intent to do the right thing for the right reasons. So, Jeff, have a very happy new year. And what is it we say at the 401k Latte Company?
How about you invest in a conversation?
Yes, and do it soon.
You've been listening to What Really Matters with Peter McClellan, a chartered financial consultant with the 401k Latte Company in Lakeville, Minnesota. For a no-cost consultation or second opinion of financial issues, call us at 952-882-0400. That's 952-882-0400. Or visit us online at 401klatte.com. That's 401klatte.com. We want to remind you to invest in a conversation.